So if you were with us on Christmas Eve or so, and now you're here today, we pretty much have sung almost all the familiar carols. So hopefully we've found the one that you particularly enjoy. And if you were here on Christmas Eve, we once more read the story from Luke. But we're going to pick up at the end of that story and just read a little bit further, because we only have Luke's gospel and a little bit in Matthew to even describe the Christmas event. So each detail has significance. So this is a reading of Luke chapter 2, starting with verse 15 through verse 24. So here again these familiar words. When the angels had left the shepherds and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go now to Bethlehem and see this thing that has taken place, which the Lord has made known to us." And so they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the child lying in the manger. And when they saw this, they made known what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. And then after 8 days had passed, it was time to circumcise the child. And he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the time came for their purification according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought him up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. For as it is written in the law of the Lord, every firstborn male shall be designated as holy to the Lord. And they offered a sacrifice according to what is stated in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons. Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. It is the Sunday after Christmas. Now, by and large, whatever things were planned for this holiday are over and done with. Family gatherings, perhaps a special meal, exchanging presents, sleeping in or taking a nap. All that has hopefully been accomplished by now. And so, what's next? It's the Sunday after Christmas. Monday is lurking just over the horizon. So as people touched by the glad tidings of Christmas, what do we do now? Back in 1996, I proposed to my wife, Beth. And after she said yes, we celebrated for a moment, and there was a pause, and then we kind of asked ourselves, all right, now what? For all the protocol that's involved in getting engaged, picking out a ring, finding a special time and place, and actually popping the question, there is no script for what you're supposed to do after you ask the question. We thought for a moment, we recognized that, well, we were beginning a new chapter in our life together, and so it was probably appropriate to call our parents. So we called our families, and then I realized now the butterflies had left my stomach. I was starving, and so we got something to eat. And then from that moment on, things unfolded as the pre-marriage engagement script gave way to the wedding planning script, and here we are today. Life is full of those what now moments. Times when you've stood on one side of a line and then you crossed over to the other side and there's no going back. Graduation from high school or from college. Walking back up the aisle after getting married. Saying yes to a job offer. Deciding perhaps to move and relocate to a new city. We say, what now? And we say it after both good and bad events. We say, what now when that newborn baby is handed to you and you're going to drive home for the first time? You say, what now when the doctor tells you that cancer has been spotted? You say, what now when your dream that you waited for does come true? And you say it when a parent or a spouse dies before you. Mary and Joseph had a what now moment right after Christmas. For in time, those shepherds came and went, The Magi made their appearance and departed. The registration required by the governor was all completed. And so the what now for the Holy Family basically came down to three verbs: treasuring, pondering, and presenting. And I suggest that those same three verbs can guide us when we're faced with our own what now moments. Scripture tells us that the shepherds, being a little more exuberant than everyone else in the Christmas cast, burst into the manger area out of breath from jogging from the field, still exhilarated by what the angels had told them. And then once they saw Mary and Joseph, they told them everything that had happened, had been foretold to them. And then the scripture says, quote, Mary treasured all these words and pondered them in her heart. Now, honestly, I'm pretty sure all the characters in the Christmas drama did the same thing. The shepherds treasured and pondered what the angels told them, what they saw. The wise men treasured and pondered this star that had led them to a child that would be king of the Jews. Joseph treasured and pondered what sort of life awaited this little boy called Emmanuel, God with us. And Mary, with a mother's deep love and protective instinct, treasured and pondered everything, perhaps a little deeper than everyone else. Those responses of treasuring and pondering actually go together: to give thanks and to give thought. If it's a time of joy, it's fitting to give thanks to God for the blessings received, to picture how to go forward by faith into this new chapter now unfolding. If it's a time of sorrow, then we pause to remember how precious life is, how grateful we are with the past times we shared with loved ones, and the times we had days of health. And then we'll ponder, well, what will come next, ever aware that the same God is ever beside us. The Psalms are actually helpful in guiding us to remember these two verbs. Psalm 103 begins, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and do not forget all God's benefits." And Psalm 46 puts it even more succinctly: "Be still and know that I am God. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge." Treasuring and pondering. A few days before Christmas, I was upstairs working in my office when my phone rang, and Kay at the front desk told me that a man named Ralph was here and wished to speak with the pastor. The name didn't ring a bell. I instinctively assumed that this would be a stranger looking for some sort of handout from the church. Let me be the first to admit, pastors are human. We are just as prone to feelings of cynicism and skepticism in those moments as everyone else. And so when I saw the man by the front desk and I didn't recognize him, we went over to a side room to chat, and I was polite, yet I was somewhat guarded. He was an older man. He was wearing a security service uniform. And he handed me an envelope, a red card. He said that 2 years ago, he'd been without food and had been turned down for assistance from the food pantry, and that he'd come here and he'd been given $20. Now, eventually, he'd come out of retirement, he'd found a job, but he'd long remembered that one act of kindness, and so he handed me an envelope which contained $30. As beautiful as this Christmas has been this year, with the worship services and the candlelight, with the celebration of reaching our capital campaign goal, with the time we've spent together and time with family and friends, that humble moment with Ralph, for me, stands near the top of my Christmas memory list. Treasuring and pondering. Now, the third verb associated with Mary and Joseph right after Christmas is presenting. Presenting the child to be circumcised, to be initiated into the Jewish faith, presenting the child in the temple, the child who is holy to the Lord, along with that gift of the two young doves, presenting that child who would be named Jesus, just as the angel foretold 9 months earlier. Now, we easily think that Christmas is about presents, not presenting. When Heather this year was leading the early Christmas Eve service, and she was sitting with the children for their special time, she retold the Christmas story, and then she asked them quite sincerely, "What sort of things do you wonder about during this Christmas season?" And several of the little ones were worrying less about the miracle of Bethlehem and more about the miracle of how Santa gets down those chimneys and how he gets all those presents to all the houses. And the church van was quickly being steered right into the secular woods, with the Christmas story being supplanted by Kris Kringle. But Heather skillfully grabbed the steering wheel and got us back on the spiritual highway once again. When Mary and Joseph left the stable, what they did was they stepped away from where they were into the place where God was calling them to go. They had to move out into the world, and they chose to do so as people of faith. As pious Jews, what they did was they followed the rituals of their beliefs. They went to the temple. They gave thanks to God for the gift of their son, to name the son publicly, to pray over him, to stand beside the whole people of faith and those that had gone before them and yet would come, who would do exactly the same things when their children were born. Presence and Santa is part of the vocabulary, but presenting is living in such a way that faithfulness is evident in your words and your deeds and your demeanor. Now, none of us are perfect in this, and that's why as Presbyterians we include prayers of confession in almost all of our worship times. But those rituals of faith that I talked about earlier, what they do is they help us present ourselves as people of faith. While hundreds of paths led away from that manger, and Mary and Joseph could have taken any one of them after Christmas, they chose to follow one that led them to the temple. And although hundreds of paths unfolded before each one of you when you awoke this very morning, you chose to follow a path that would bring you into these doors and into a time of prayer and shared worship. And no matter what tomorrow holds, no matter what news is going to cause you to stop and think, okay, what now? God in Christ calls us to present ourselves as people who trust in the Lord always. Near the end of the Bible, in this little book called 1 Peter, it says this: "Come to Christ, a living stone, though rejected by mortals, yet chosen and precious in God's sight, and like living stones yourselves, may you be built into a spiritual house." Too often we say to ourselves, "I could never be outspoken in public about my faith. I'm hesitant to talk about God with others." Well, then at the very least, imagine yourself as a stone, as a living stone, one part of the architecture of faith that God is creating in the world right now. All of us can do that much. Presenting is putting yourself in the place where God needs you to be. Mary and Joseph presented Jesus in the temple because their faith told them that's where we needed to be. And unbeknownst to them, as soon as they brought forward Jesus, two elderly prophets, Simeon and Anna, came to their side and offered up new words of hope that this child would be for the salvation of the world. And none of that would have happened if they'd chosen a different route out of town on that first weekend after Christmas. We treasure, we ponder, we present ourselves And that happens when we ask those what now questions. What now? Where is God in this moment? What would Christ have me do in light of what I'm facing? How do I sense the Holy Spirit guiding me? And after we ask those questions, our response is the prayer, "Gracious Lord, use me. Here I am, right here, right now." May we hold fast to the three verbs of the Sunday after Christmas as we treasure and we ponder and we present. Let us come before God with our prayers of intercession this day. Let us pray. Loving and gracious Lord, on this day we hold fast to the good news that in Jesus you became flesh, your word dwelt among us, and through that birth love now dwells in our hearts and peace has been manifest in our world. So remind us all the good news as we go forth into the world you have made. Remind us how your messenger has always announced peace and joy, has always driven out the warring ways of our world, chased back the ways of darkness with light, and called us to protect any who face danger this day. Remind us that your word always comes with justice, and it will rule the earth with fairness. It will inspire leaders of all nations, as well as each one of us, humble citizens of the world, that our lives, our choices, our conversations will work for dignity and equality for all. Remind us how the mountains and the rivers clapped and sang with joy as your word makes all things new. But then remind us of the damage we are doing to your world and guide us that we might mend our ways, that all creation may again breathe with the love and liveliness of your blessing. Make us joyful messengers like the shepherds of old, freely sharing your good news. May, like the wise men, we too follow where you would guide us, trusting that your incoming in the world has changed all people for all time. And on this day, Lord, be especially with those who are in pain, who are suffering, who are without homes or shelters, the refugees in our midst and across our borders, the injured and the ill, the dying and the grieving. Be with those who have lost loved ones, remembering especially the family of Pansy Miles. And let us hold fast to the good news that unto us a child is born who will live and die and rise again, offering his blessing to all creation. So let's listen once more as we offer the prayer you've taught us to say together as we pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.